When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He's a gorilla of destiny, a Bullet Club OG, continuing on the legacy of the most feared name in all of wrestling. From Tonga to Japan to America, you are now entering Tama's Island. With your host, the babyface heel, Tama Tonga.
All righty, folks, we are back here on Tama's Island. It is another week. We have a ton to talk about. As always, I'm Ross W. Berman IV, the Culture Vulture, the Folk City Hustler, the Disruptor. I am joined, as always, by Tama Tonga. Tama, can you hear us this time?
Hey, I'm good. We're take two, man. I'm set. It's been a while since I've been here, right? It's been a week.
Yep.
I forgot how everything worked here. So I'm back. I'm trying to figure it back out, man. What's up, man? Ross, how you doing?
I'm great, man. And don't sweat it. You've had a lot on your mind between facing Okada at Power Struggle and the fact that you got World Tag League coming up. You're kind of being pulled in many different directions here, but I want to thank everyone on the Twitch for their patience, and I also want to thank our the man recording this and who just kind of saved our butts at the moment, John. Hey. Welcome back to the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, you know, just living the dream.
Hell yeah. And speaking of living the dream, we have once again with us someone who is definitely qualified to help us break down Best of Super Juniors and everything else in the world of wrestling. Karen, welcome back to the podcast. How are you this week?
It's always great to be here.
Oh, it's always great to have you. And like I said, we have a lot to talk about this week on Tama's Island. So let's just get right into it. WWE released a lot of people. This past, what was it, Thursday? Time is kind of a blur and a man-made construct, and we just went through daylight savings. I believe it was Thursday. WWE laid off just around 18 wrestlers, 18 contracted talent that are now being added to the free roster, the free agency. This includes Frankie Monet, the former Taya Valkyrie, Ember Moon, Jesse Kamiya, Katrina Cortez, Jeet Rama, Oni Lorcan, the former Biff Busick, Trey Baxter, the former Blake Christian, Zeta Ramir, Scarlett Bordeaux, B-Fab, Grand Metalik, Lindsay Dorado, Karrion Kross, Harry Smith, Nia Jax, Eva Marie, Keith Lee, and Mia Yim. This is a pretty hefty list of talent here. A lot of really, really, I don't know how to put this any other way, important talent, money makers, people that have been featured on some serious TV time. I mean, Tama, what was your reaction when you heard WWE was at it again, apparently?
I think I'm growing a little numb to it by now because it's happened so much. But I mean, it still sucks for all the guys that are getting released. Some of these names, damn. Harry didn't even get a chance to breathe, man. Shit.
He had one dark match on SmackDown, and that's it. And then he was just kind of off doing something else for a while, and now he's one of the budget cuts. They've cited all of them as budget cuts, but there have been other reasons cited as well by talent and other
sources.
We were
just talking about Scarlett Bordeaux here with Karrion Kross, and we thought that Scarlett Bordeaux was like the one that had like the more of the appeal towards the camera to the people, and she seemed really over. can't say much about Karrion Kross. I mean, we, you know, everybody has their own opinion about it, but I was surprised about Scarlett Bordeaux. We talked about it on Happy Hour. I'm surprised about Nia Jax.
Yep.
A lot of people isn't, but just because
she's the Rock's cousin. It seemed, I mean, it's like Bray Wyatt. Braun Strowman. She felt like someone that was uniquely WWE. She felt like someone that was, felt like she was going to be a lifer, like someone like Tamina or something like that. But nope, apparently Nia Jax, according to an Instagram post she put out, took a mental health break to kind of get her head straight and get all of her senses back. And then when she asked for a little bit more time to continue that mental health break, that was when she was apparently put on the chopping block. And so it does seem that just pretty much anyone and everyone is, for lack of a better term, expendable right now. We'll go deeper into this, but I want to get all of your thoughts here. Let's throw to you, Karen. What do you kind of think of this list of names that WWE has kind of dropped into the free agency?
Well, I remember listening to a different podcast last week, right when it happened, and total number of releases over the last year is over 70 people. Impact's roster is less than 60 people. You can have an entire promotion with the number of people released. Some of these recent releases were names that kept NXT going the last 3 years. Keith Lee. I was at the Mae Young Classic when we chanted for Mia Yim to get signed, and she was huge in NXT. Ember Moon. It's heartbreaking. But at the same time, I think a lot of these names are going to be people that once that 30 or 90 day window is up, the offers are just going to pour in, or they're going to find something else. Because, you know, everybody has a side project. People finding ways to diversify their income. Mm-hmm. I wish everyone the best. It's frustrating to watch. You hate to see it, especially when there's this whole discussion about how women have to work harder to do twice the amount of work to get a fraction of the recognition. Mm-hmm. Frankie Monet, she could have went straight to Raw and SmackDown. I love seeing her in NXT. She didn't need to be there.
Okay.
She didn't need to be there.
I'm with you. I'm glad you keep bringing up NXT though, because that kind of feels like the crux of it, right? Like
it's 2014. That was what I called home. That's where I got into wrestling. I saw Kenta at my very first house show, and that was it. That's how I got into wrestling. So anytime, especially ones that were NXT mainstays, they get cut, it hurts, because that's NXT wouldn't be where it is now without so many of these people.
Yeah.
WWE would not have the main roster they have now without many of the people that went through NXT.
The old NXT. NXT 1.0. Yep.
It's NXT
1.5.
Yeah. Never forget the reality show era. No, but Karen does bring up a good point. Folks like Mia Yim, Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, Oni Lorcan, these are folks that are black and gold through and through. I mean, not NXT. I'm talking specifically that black and gold Triple H's baby era. And it does feel like everything outside of Tommaso Ciampa and MSK, everything from that black and gold era seems to have gone the way of Luchasaurus at this point. I was going to say gone the way of the dinosaur, but let's keep it wrestling, shall we? Well, I got a siren going. John, what do you think?
Man, I don't know, but you better look out for Steiner or something. I think there's like a
Bron Breakker's doing great. He's in Europe right now. He's on the European tour, apparently impressing people. So like
every time I get hot on somebody, like I'm like, hell yeah, man, this guy is the shit. This is the future. Then I see like, you know, one of those horrifying lists of people that have been released, and like three of them are like people that I went, hell yeah, this guy's the future. And I have no idea what the hell is going on over there. But obviously there's got to be a logic to every name. It's not like a company that large just goes, oh, I think, throw in a random generator and whoever's employee ID number comes up, you fire that person. That's not how it works.
Well, and that you do bring up a good point there. There has been more logic than just budget cuts thrown out there. The New York Post reporting that some of the names that were released not only due to budget cuts, but also due to the fact that they're not vaccinated. And we are now getting to the point where WWE, they're on an international tour. You can't go on an international tour if you're not vaccinated. You can't perform in California right now if you're not vaccinated. It is going to limit the number of venues that some of their talent are able to work because of their vaccination status. And now you're starting to see that might possibly be a factor in getting the axe at this point.
I think you're just making up excuses for anything.
Exactly. It's the New York Post. So take it with whatever grain of salt you take the New York Post with. We talk a lot about dirt sheets. The Post is the dirt sheets of New York.
Mainstream dirt sheet. Yeah.
But I think there's
definitely a method to the layoffs, mm-hmm. whether it's to clear room on the roster for, a purchase or some kind of transfer or something, if they're making room because now they may be committed to bringing in pro athletes. And those people tend to be already expensive because they're used to making a shit ton more money. You can't just pull somebody out of the Indies. You used to working for $40,000 a year and then, you start them at six figures and they're happy. You pull a pro athlete who was in the NFL and now you're looking at him and he's used to making them big bucks on them easy contracts. So I don't know. I don't know what they're doing, but there's gotta be a logic.
You do bring up a good point because this is a topic that's been brought up a number of
times. Those are the only kind of points I have, my man.
Let's knock wood. Let's not jinx you. We're only 12 minutes into the podcast.
No, I just jinxed it.
But it is a good point because of the fact we've brought up a number of times on this podcast that it would make more sense for WWE to keep guys like Roman Reigns, guys like Bron Breakker, guys like Seth Rollins, keep them in that Hollywood tax bracket so that way there is that upper echelon vibe to WWE. As long as there's competition out there, you can't necessarily always beat AEW in the ring, but you can beat perception. Perception's a very easy fight to win, especially when you have money. And so it would make sense that they're trying to up that pay grade. I don't think they're open for sale simply for the fact that I think the minute WWE admits that they are open to sell, the price drops. And so forevermore, it's going to be them saying, no, we're not selling the company. We're just doing business as business is. So that way you have to really want to buy it. You don't just give up a lot of leverage like that. So no, they're not ever going to say they're open for business, but they are making sure that those margins are nice and fat.
You never know when you have to.
It's definitely a fair point, but I think Tom is right on the vaccination says. I think it really is just, it's not any one thing they're going to cut you for. If they want to cut you, they'll find a reason at this point.
They did that whole signing frenzy a few years ago that smothered the UK scene, almost completely gone. Mm-hmm. And now they have this overabundance of talent that, they're like, well, if you're just sitting at the PC working out 5 days a week, or you're, hanging out and catering every week and we got nothing for you.
If we even suspect that you have a problem with doing the job, kind of problems, we want it our way and we want to do it our way. If you don't like it our way, get the out.
That's why you got to do things.
I feel like we're at with this.
You got to cut The Rock's cousins so that when people go, oh, I'm untouchable, I'm blah blah blah, it's like, listen,
right? Mm-hmm. I know. Once they did that to big choo choo train man. What's the big man?
Braun Strowman. Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, that's some serious cut, man. That's a serious one in my eyes, because that's your big dude. That's one you just had on TV. I thought he was untouchable, and and now Nia Jax, that's The Rock's cousin, man. Come on.
Yeah. And another case of someone like Braun Strowman, a uniquely WWE talent. She was not exactly running around the independent scene creating, she was born of the system.
She's the Strowman of the girls' side, She's the big one.
You're not wrong. She's even booked fighter. Like, yeah, she's booked like Strowman. She's the ass kicker. Yeah. She's the, yeah. But now she's gonna be someone else's ass kicker. Let's put it that way. Whose ass kicker? That's the question, because we're already seeing with Impact, like, they were trying to bring in Braun, they were trying to bring in a few others for Bound for Glory. Was not able to come together. It sounds like a lot of these guys are still expecting something similar to what they were getting in WWE, and I don't think a lot of people can afford that right now.
I don't think a lot of guys in WWE understand what the weather is like outside.
Literally.
You got the road life. Like, I mean, do any of them even have the savvy to survive on the road by themselves? I mean, they're waiting
for cutthroat out here, wrestlers in WWE. For those that wasn't in the independent. For those that were in the independent scene and understand, like, the Keith Lee and Mia Yim, they know what's like. They come back out here, back to hustling. But the Strowman, Nia Jax, all of them that came up the WWE system, I'll even bring this guy, Cat, back up just because I don't think he knew either. But Enzo, you know, back in the day, these guys that came up just didn't understand how this, like, it's out here. It's free world, man. It's cutthroat. What you say is it's legit out here. We're going to be, it's cutthroat season, you know? You're trying to swim out here if you can, but you ain't going to get the pay that you get in WWE.
That's what literally everyone in Chris Jericho, John Moxley, everyone who's come to AEW said, I took the pay cut for creative freedom. And so, like, it's clear that no, even at that top upper echelon where you can pretty much do what you want, you're not making the money you were in WWE. And I'm with you. There are folks on that list who are going to hustle. They're going to get it. I mean, hell, Scarlett Bordeaux she's already got like a couple of like clothing lines, like a photo shoot. She's going to have an OnlyFans. Like she's apparently hustling like there's no tomorrow. Keith Lee's already shooting from the hip, getting on Twitter, being like, look, you didn't even pay for my medical records. Screw y'all. I'm about to go succeed somewhere else.
And even guys like Karrion Kross and Scarlett Bordeaux, right? They were in the indie scenes already kicking ass already before they even went in. So maybe this is a chance for Karrion Kross to bring back that killer instinct, that to bring back what he lost when he went in there.
He can be Killer Kross again. I mean, that was kind of the problem in NXT.
He can bring back that killer, but he can be something else.
You know what I mean?
Because
like that was the thing. So he went to NXT and they were like, well, you can't be Killer Kross anymore. And so he's like, all right, what part of me can stay in NXT?
And then he was coming out and we're in the independence. He's like, well, you can't be Killer Kross anymore. Yep. We already know you can't be Killer.
Yep. So he did kind of, Adam Cole did kind of end him. And the video's out there. We've all seen it. It was broadcast on the USA Network. I think he's going to hustle his way back in. But I agree with you for the Nia Jaxes, for the Braun Strowmans, it's a learning curve. And hell, you brought up Enzo. If Enzo's any indication, that learning curve can be learned from. I mean, he's out there making money now, so it's not like he didn't learn. And so I have a feeling it's going to be rough for everyone, because this news does come immediately after Ring of Honor was like, look, we're not really doing contracts anymore. Even if we're back in April of 2022, it's not a steady paycheck. And so, like, it's the water's a little choppy. The water's a little choppy for the, what was it, 18 folks that they've cut, the 70 that they've cut since 2021 started. And I believe it's over 150 since COVID started. I had some close to 160. It's a real large, ridiculous number. Some of those folks, I mean, I still haven't seen pop up on the independent scene. It's like Karen said, it's a hustler economy. Some folks like I hear the former Bo Dallas has his farm. Some folks have real estate. Like there are side hustles out there to be figured. But yeah, again, shout out to everyone that's having to deal with the immediate releases, and also shout out to everyone that kind of handled the coverage of the releases. Guys like Sean Russack, who I think did a very good job of keeping it. People get grim when all these releases happen, and I think it's very good for coverage to keep it everything above board. And I think everyone did a very good job of that. So shout out to everyone. Let's move on to a happier topic. Everyone's favorite time of the year is here again. Best of Super Juniors, World Tag League, it is about to be popping off in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Now, we just got the announcement, what was it, about a little over 12 hours ago. Tama, you and your brother are going to be entering your sixth World Tag League, coming off of last year's win. How's it, what do you, we'll go through the lineup in a second, but what are your thoughts kind of looking at this year's lineup of teams?
I see some familiar old faces in there, and we're gonna be touching back into, like, you know, we got Nagata and Tiger Mask,
yep,
which is unique to say, because you got a super junior champ in there with the OG Nagata, and then you got Makabe and Homa, the winners of two of these World Tag Leagues at the beginning of me and my brother's run. So it'll be nice to go against these guys again and slap them up and pay back for what they did to us 5 years ago. I hold on to a grudge, damn it.
Oh, you better. This is going to be like, because at the end of the day, this is like, I think you bring a very good point. It's a generational tag league. You've got guys like Dangerous Techers, got Guerrillas of Destiny, you got United Empire. I mean, hell, even Naito and Sonata made a pretty good case as a tag team back over the summer. And so, like, you've got these newer tag teams mixing it up with, like you said, Great Bash Heel, Honma and Makabe, two-time winners. You got Tenzan and Kojima showing up as the kind. I mean, they are the ones you and your brother kind of beat for the most reigns, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, they are kind. They used to be the top of the tag league and the tag team mountain before you and your brother kind of carved your own path. And so, and because it's all a single block, you're going to face everyone. You're going to face the newbies. You're going to face the old guys. You're going to face the Tanahashi and Yano, which is a random ass team that's going to be fun as hell. Let me go through this for everyone that may not have been up at 3 a.m. for the announcement. Like I said, we got Tama and Tonga. We got Great Okan and Hanari from the United Empire. We've got the IWGP Tag Champions, Tai Chi and Zack Sabre Jr., Naito and Sonata, Haruki Goto and Yoshihashi, Yuji Nagata and Tiger Mask, Tenzan and Kojima, Makabe and Honma, Tanahashi and Yano, Fale and Chase Owens. We've got Evil and Yujiro Takahashi. And then making his New Japan return after quite a few years off on his own, Taka Michinoku is returning to New Japan Pro Wrestling to team with Minoru Suzuki. I'm going to throw to Karen, actually, on this one, because especially when it comes to junior heavyweights, you got a lot to talk about. Taka Michinoku coming back. What's your reaction to that? How does that feel?
I remember when he left.
Okay.
And the reasons why he hastily left.
Gotcha.
So I will abstain from commenting.
Okay. Fair.
I'm not comfortable commenting.
Absolutely.
I guess
fair.
I'm the only one who didn't know why he left.
Yeah.
We'll talk later, Tama.
I just found out last night and I was blown away. Yep. Yeah. I was like, where's he been? I was like, well, about time he came back. Where's he been? And then I got the scoop and I was like, oh.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's why.
Okay. No, his Wikipedia still lists it as an injury. I'm not going to go too deep into it. Just look up morality clause to anyone that's in the dark. That should give you enough of an idea. But yeah, Taka Michinoku, Minoru Suzuki are back. It's going to be a wild tag league, and it's going to be running concurrently with the Super Junior, the 28th Best of Super Junior tournament, which is also going to be pretty damn insane. Let's run through this Best of Super Junior lineup. We've got El Desperado, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, last year's winner Hiromu Takahashi. We've got one half of the IWGP Junior Tag Champions, Robbie Eagles, El Fantasmo, Ryusuke Taguchi, Taishi Ishimori, Sho Yo making his big return, Master Wato, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Doki, and Bushi. And much like Tag League, it's all going to be one block, which means we get Sho versus Yo. We get last year's rematch with Hiromu versus El Desperado. We get, hell, we even get Taishi Ishimori and Yoshinobu Kanemaru bringing up those old grudges from the Noah days. You see, Tama, you're not the only one that's going to have to be bringing up old-ass grudges for this year's tournament. Kanemaru and Ishimori are going to be opening up some old wounds. But, Karen, what do you think of this? What do you think of the Super Junior lineup for this year?
Well, the caveat is, because of international travel, I think it's a very good decision.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you talked about Tiger Mask going heavyweight. I think Ibushi's injury played into the decision for him not to be in Super Junior.
Okay.
Because I would have thought in my mind that had Ibushi won, Yano would have tagged with Okada, or Ibushi would have tagged with Tanahashi.
Okay.
Or Tiger Mask would have tagged with Tanahashi. So that's what I think kind of happened. But you're forgetting that Desperado has to wrestle Doki and Kanemaru.
Yep. Yep. No, and
with him saying that as the champion, you know, being mouthy and saying, well, if I'm the champion, I want the main event. And if I'm in the main event, I'm defending my championship every single match.
Mm-hmm.
That's a champion right there.
Yep.
He's taking I'm not going to rest on my laurels. I know I just got the belt back, but he's putting it up. And you know what? With him and Hiromu, can't wait to see it again. That was my match of 2020. Best match, my favorite match. Can't wait to see it run down. But there are so many other matchups that I think are going to really surprise us.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, Sho and Yo, that's a given for me. We're not going to talk about that. But it's good. It's good to see my boys back on opposite sides, but good to see them both back, both healthy. So
yeah, no, absolutely. It's good to see them both healthy. It's good to see they're going to finally at least get to tease that showdown. I don't know. It's Super Juniors. So it doesn't feel like this is going to be the end of Sho versus Yo, but it does feel like a fiery, fiery, beginning. John, what do you kind of think of the Super Juniors lineup? Karen brings up a good point. There's no debuts this year. It's going to be all folks who have old business in New Japan. Like this is not going to be anyone proving their mettle. This is going to be people proving that they're better than they were last year.
Yeah, I love a grudge match. The only thing mm-hmm. I love more than a grudge match is a grudge match against yourself.
Mm-hmm.
People have something to prove. Like I like when the whole thing's got a theme to it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, in a way, I mean, whether that's on purpose or not, who knows? That's damn good fucking booking. But back to like Yo and Sho. Am I the only person that completely got blindsided by that shit in a way that, like, I don't know, like, I knew he was going to come out and, like, you know, and have a fucking problem with him. But the fact that he just laid him the fuck out.
I mean, it makes sense for the way that Sho left Yo laying in what I believe is the MetLife Dome. I mean, it was a ref stoppage finish. They beat the hell out of Yo, and so Yo had a lot of unfinished business.
Yeah,
with Sho and with House of Torture in general.
I just didn't expect him to be so brutal. Mm-hmm. It's like, what happened? I mean, I know what happened to this dude, but holy shit!
Oh, it's, man, like Goto is like the one of the dads of chaos. Mm-hmm. So honestly, when Sho got in the ring with the scissors, I thought he was going to hack at Goto's hair. So I was like, no, you do not touch that man's hair. So, and I'm like, if Yo does not come out at that point, and also he was the one who designed that chaos towel that Sho, you know, decided to hack to ribbons. But
there you go.
It's the Yo needed to come back, but not just in some way where it wasn't just, oh yeah, he's in Super Juniors. Of course he's going to be in the Super Juniors. Like it needed something. Mm-hmm. I was expecting him to get involved in the match, but I preferred him like doing the run-in afterwards.
Yeah, it's much better. Mm-hmm. Also, it's more polite, you know?
Yeah.
He's a very well-mannered man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of fucked up to spray your business, you know, just like go in there and just be like, hey, this is my fucking business now. And it's man, you wait, and then you come out and handle your shit.
And if you run in the middle of a match, you run the risk of giving Sho a victory. Like you get the other team as well. You don't want him to win while you're beating his ass. So I get why Yo went for it. I get what he's putting down.
And it says it's not about me interfering with the match. It's about me handling my fucking shit.
Exactly. It's about business.
Yeah. Otherwise, people get the wrong idea. They think, oh, now you're a cheater because you're coming out and interfering. Da, da, da. It's like, mm-hmm. No, man, I'm just pissed off. I'm out here to beat the shit out of somebody. I like that.
He did
like that clarity.
Not every baby face needs to be a dope. Yeah. Yep. It can be, they're allowed to be pissed off.
Thank you.
What? Baby faces ain't dopes?
No, I was not dopes, Tama.
Some baby
actually smart.
That's news to me.
Yeah, you've been going in here walking around like you think everybody else is dope, and you know.
I was like, all these baby faces are dopes.
let's be real. It's wrestling. A lot of them are, but I think we're in a new era. We're now at the point where you've got guys like Yo showing baby faces can be angry. Eddie Kingston is very much proof that baby faces can be very, very angry. In fact, people that are so angry they might need to take some medication for it, as he brought up in one episode. So some folks are extremely angry baby faces. But yeah, the Best of Super Juniors kicking off November 13th, 4:30 a.m. Eastern on New Japan World, and then the World Tag League will kick off the next night, the 14th.
Can we bring back some that we kind of skimmed? We didn't even like skim over. We didn't even talk about it in the World Tag League.
Yep.
Can we bring out? Can we talk about the fact that Fale is finally fucking back?
Thank you. Hell yeah. I dropped it in there and no one like reacted to the fact that I brought up Fale and Owens. I was like, all right, well, you know what? We'll get to it when we get to it. But yeah, bad luck, Fale's back.
Yeah, but I hope he still remembers how to wrestle, because we haven't seen his ass in like a minute. I mean, I've been watching his stuff on Instagram and TikTok. He's definitely a TikTok guy.
Yeah.
But I hope he still remembers how to wrestle, because we're going to need big man. We're going to need him back.
What were we calling him last year? The rogue influencer?
Yep, the rogue influencer. No, the Tongan massage parlor will be back open for business for this World Tag League. Everyone better.
Damn, looks like he's about to do out some couples massages.
I mean, Tama has to worry about that too, because there's gonna be all Bullet Club match.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't gotta worry about it, because
you say this.
You gotta catch me first.
Yeah, you guys aren't shy about handling, you know, your shit when you have to against each other. Like,
yeah, we figure out ways.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, but don't get too distracted by Fale, because Chase is going to be looking to get that revenge for the G1 too. So don't you know, get too distracted in that match. But it is a good point. Bullet Club not the only folks that are going to have the interfaction matches. Not only with Fale and Owens taking on G.O.D., but you've also got House of Torture in there taking on you both at some point. So Bullet Club sparks will be flying, but also Evil and Yujiro Takahashi will at some point have to face off with Tetsuya Naito and Sonata, and I gotta believe that is going to be, as Karen clutches her heart, an emotional tournament match. I'll throw it to you, Karen, because you're already reacting to it. What do you think of that potential showdown between the ex-LIJ mates?
Well, it's always a fun time when Evil tangles with his former tag team partner and Tetsuya Naito. For me, it's more relief that Naito doesn't need surgery for his knee.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like he said in his press conference, he would have been on the shelf for an entire year.
Yeah.
So it's more relief than anything else. But it's LAJ, when they mix it up with everyone, especially when they're against each other, they bring out the best in each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's not just Evil, because Yujiro and Naito used to be No Limit. That extra layer on top.
There's gonna be a lot to chew on in that match. There's gonna be a lot going on, especially when you consider the fact that it's World Tag League. I mean, this is a tournament that Evil and Sonata have won multiple times, and so like that adds that extra oomph of one of them has to prove to the other that I was the reason we made it to the finals all those times. You know what I mean? Like Karen's not wrong. There are so many layers to that, that LIJ versus House of Torture showdown that's going to be happening. But I gotta say, Naito and Sonata, I feel like, are the team with the most to prove, because not only is Naito coming off that injury, he's got the, he said that he's rested up, he's not rushing back, and so he's going to be at full health. But they had a tag title reign over the summer during a point when it was a rough time for New Japan because you had the state of emergency was really going strong. It was a difficult time to get buzz going, and so I do kind of feel like that in the Road to the Dome, Naito and Sonata are going to want to kind of prove to everyone show what people missed over the summer, for lack of a better term, to really take that tag team on the road, because like they. I'm just gonna say it. They had some damn fine matches over the summer. I mean, we're talking like 40-minute marathons with Zack Sabre Jr. and Taichi that were reminiscent of some of the old All Japan days. I mean, Tama, what did you kind of think of Naito and Sonata's brief tag title reign over the summer?
I wasn't really that surprised because they're two very solid individuals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like putting two powerhouses together, and I wasn't that surprised that they took the tag titles like that, and I won't be surprised again if they put up a nice fight this tag league, though Naito is coming off an injury, but if he says he's good, knowing Naito, man, that dude will just go through anything to stay in the game, and I hope he's making the right decision right now in bypassing a surgery to stay in the game, because longevity is the game, and you gotta try to cater to that first and foremost.
You do have to wonder if it's because it's not just any injury. This is the injury that took him out of the G1 on night one, and so it adds that extra. Oh, I've got to come back from this better than ever. And so you do bring up a good point of even if the doctors are saying he's fine and he can wrestle, is he going to be pushing himself too hard? Is he going to be trying to prove too much? And could that bite him?
Absolutely. I mean, he goes hardcore though. I mean, it's like, and sometimes, you know, you're pushing against something and it's kind of like in your way and then it moves out of the way and you go too far, like then you fall on your face. That is exactly what he's setting himself up for. I mean, I hope for his sake he doesn't, but also for everybody else's sake, maybe he does. Who knows?
John, he's going to. He's that guy, John. I mean,
he's always out, right? He's always pushing himself too hard and going out.
And he'll take just like the amount of rest he needs, and then he'll come right back in instead of like really sitting it out. And but that's I feel like that's just a Japanese mindset, is what we can give to the company, and it's not letting the company down. That's their mindset. This is between us and anybody who's listening to the podcast, but.
Thomas Island listeners, as guys, so much of our identity is wrapped up in our hair, from how it feels after getting a fresh cut to the way it's perfectly styled before we go out, and then we get into our 20s and our 30s and we start to notice those first signs of hair loss. Oh, it definitely starts to feel like panic time. Because let's face it, no guy ever really wants to go bald, but thankfully, there's now an easy way to keep your hair with Keeps. Did you know that 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35? The only way to really prevent hair loss is to do something about it while you still have hair left. And Keeps makes it very easy. You don't have to go to your doctor's office for hair loss prescriptions. Now, all you have to do is visit a doctor online, get your hair loss medication delivered right to your home, and start now. That's right, they make it easy, and they deliver your medication every 3 months, so you can say goodbye to hanging out in the pharmacy checkout lines and all those awkward doctor visits. And also, they have the only 2 FDA-approved hair loss products out there. You may have tried them before, but you've never tried them for this price. Again, you have to start while you still have hair left to save, and treatments can typically take between 4 to 6 months, so it's important to act fast. And if you want that first month free, go to keeps.com/Tama. That's right, keeps.com/Tama for your first month free. Head on over to keeps.com and keep the hair you have while you still have it. All the years, baby.
But, you know, a lot of American wrestlers, they're more of like, if I get like I need my time off. I'm going to take my break. Mm-hmm. But here in Japan, it's a different, you know, it's got to, you know, a limb got to be hanging off your body halfway off before like in the doctor and then a second opinion. And then everybody else got to tell you to sit down before they actually sit down. So there's a different kind of mindset. It's a lot of sacrificing on the wrestler's part, a Japanese wrestler's part here for the company. Different cultures.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, it's not just Naito. I mean, you've got guys like Honma who had a broken neck at one point, bounced back, and now
still broken.
It's still broken, but he's fighting through it.
Coming out there like this, just kind of
figure it out. I mean,
we talked about this before on the island. I think with Tenzan, you can see it. He's walking on his damn ankle. He's not even walking on his foot anymore. He's walking on his ankle. Jado is like, you can see it in the way they walk. They're gonna come out and still fight. It's a warrior's code out here, man. It doesn't like. I remember about probably like 6 years ago. I was like, my hip, and I just remember the look I got from other guys. and I was like, oh, you're gonna talk about that again.
You're fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at Ibushi in the G1 final. They literally had to like hold him down and tell him like, no, wait, I don't care if your arm is dangling off. We're stopping the match. He's like, no, I got it. I'll be fine. I can pop it back into place or so. Like they had to like physically restrain him.
He didn't even know that he was knocked out.
Yep.
I said, bro, he just woke up. You know, you need to stop
this. And that's bringing it back to like, you know, talking about these guys leaving, you know, a cushy corporate. I mean, it's not all bells and whistles, but WWE, where there's rules about like, hey, you got to hangnail, then you got to sit it out. But like, you know, when you're in JPW and you have to deal with a different culture, or when you're on the road and you literally can't afford to not show up to your next gig because you need that money, you're living day to day, you're not getting a salary. So I mean, it's a whole nother thing. You can't, you know, there's no out for somebody else to go, oh, you know, the ring doctor said I can't, which is fine, you know, take care of yourself, obviously don't get hurt. It's not worth it, right? But it's different out there, like you said.
Yeah. I feel like it used to be like the old school way for the indie wrestlers in America. There was a guy that used to train me. His name is Ricky Santana. And he used to say that, like in the indies, you know, and I'm sure a lot of independent guys now can vouch for this. When you're hurt, man, there isn't no sit out. If you're hurt, you don't get a paycheck. If you don't work, you don't get a paycheck, and you're hustling. This is the hustle economy, right? So you just take that shit back up and you go out there and you work around it. So different.
Do you want to eat this week?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You don't got that health insurance, that cushy health insurance plan where they send you that doctor and God knows where he does some sort
Arkansas
of experimental. Yeah. He shoots you up full of like, you know, sickle cells or whatever it is. What's the thing that they do? The stem cells. Yeah.
But as we're finding with Keith Lee, that even that's not as prevalent as it used to be. Keith Lee revealing that WWE was not paying his medical bills, which is not something that WWE does. They'll do that if you get injured in the ring.
Yeah,
they'll pay your medical
bills. John Cena with a tennis ball elbow or whatever it was.
Well, actually, no, there have been cases where they'll like bring in an independent talent for one night and he'll go in knowing he's hurt and be like, oh no, I hurt myself in the WWE ring. I didn't go in hurt already. So that way they have to cover his expenses. There's people who try to jump through that loophole all the time. But yeah, it's you're kind of on your own, and that does a lot of times create that mentality. You're seeing now guys like Alex Shelley, guys like Davey Richards get into physical therapy, get into actual hell. Davey Richards is a straight up is in emergency medicine, so that now there is that presence backstage where you have someone who even if you don't have a full on medical center backstage at every independent show, you have someone who knows how to, you know, care for an injury and care for the people's health, bodies.
Let's go out to the parking lot. Let me set that for you.
Well, and it's not even reset. It's one of those cases of like, it's like we said, if you're too hurt to, you can't miss a date, you can at least show up knowing you've got someone you can go, hey, look, man, my shoulder isn't so great right now. How should I be like taking care of myself? It's just having someone to talk to about that kind of thing is one of the big, big changes, I think, in the independent scene over the past 4 or 5 years. It's a pretty new thing now. I mean, hell, we're not far removed from guys like Sabu super gluing cuts closed. It was a different time way back then. But yeah, like I said, Best of Super Juniors World Tag League, it's going to be a wild wild time. We will have all of the coverage of that here on Thomas Island, as well as I'll be over on WrestleZone typing up all the results as they come in, as they happen. I believe some of the shows are going to be VOD. Some of them are going to be live. It's going to be back and forth, but we'll definitely keep you all updated. But it's not only in Japan that New Japan is building up to some big ass stuff going on. This weekend they're also going to have Battle in the Valley in San Jose, returning to the site of Jushin Thunder Liger's final match in the United States. And it was already a pretty loaded card when they announced it. Now they've added Kazuchika Okada versus Buddy Matthews, the former Buddy Murphy. Karen, you were at New Japan Showdown when they announced that Buddy Matthews was coming back to New Japan. What, now that we know he's facing the Rainmaker, the Umbrella makes a lot more sense now, doesn't it? It definitely adds a bit more context to that promo.
He needs a bigger umbrella because he took that umbrella down, his hair is all wet. So you know what? I don't know if the rain was going sideways. It does that here in Florida, but yep. I'm very excited. When he became a free agent, mm-hmm. New Japan was the first place I wanted to see him wrestle. If he ends up there full time in some capacity, I would not be mad at it. If he goes and wrestles all over Japan, I won't be mad at it. He's an incredible wrestler. He was exceptionally underutilized. And I think he's going to give Okada a run for his money, sort of like Tama did in the G1. Mm-hmm. I don't think Okada's ready.
Yeah. Matthews. And I'm glad you kind of bring this up, because Buddy Matthews was a guy who in WWE was really kind of talked about as like WWE's version of Kenny Omega. He had that snap that Omega had. He was doing some of the moves, all that kind of stuff. And now that he's out of WWE, he's had some great matches on the independent scene, but this is his first like real big high profile match since he left WWE. And it's against Okada. I mean, he's really going to get to kind of prove why everyone gave him, you know, that nickname in the first place. I'm not going to sit here and pretend he's going to go 47 minutes with Okada and it's going to be Wrestle Kingdom, but it's definitely like the platform to prove yourself against the Rainmaker. It's going to be a hell of a match. Then you had Jay White versus Tomohiro Ishii, as well as Will Ospreay versus an angry, he's taken on Ren Narita, if I'm not mistaken. And and Ren Narita has been pissed off on the past few episodes of New Japan Strong. Like I said, that's the Showdown tapings. That's the tapings you were at Karen.
Does anybody real like see him morphing into Shibata Jr.?
100%.
Oh my gosh.
That was the next thing.
I looked at him and I was like, what the? I was like, hold on, is that Shibata? Is that Shibata's child?
He's got the hair, he's got the beard, right? He's getting real nasty in the ring. Karen, give us more.
He's filling out finally, too. So mm-hmm. when I went to the LA shows, he was in the ring and we're like, is he growing a beard? Wait a minute. And we're like, no. But
he's hanging out with Shibata so much, he's turning into him, man.
I'm not mad at it. I feel like, but for me, it was like, oh, well, Shibata's not coming back. Ren Narita, sure. Turn him into a murder machine. Not murder machine show. Shibata grade murder machine. And then all of a sudden, Shibata's back wrestling people. I'm just like, well, there goes that idea. But like, Ren and Yuya are so beloved and so over here in the States. I can't get over it. It's amazing. They're thriving. And the LA Dojo guys are helping them so much.
I'm loving the attitude that Ren is giving out on these promos.
Gritty.
Man.
I love it.
I know, it's so gritty. I'm like, oh, I like this. I like this grit, this Shibata grit, young boy from America. I was like, can you imagine that mix right there? Oh.
Well, and yeah, it's
got, the, I just got chills.
Skinny, he's not the skinny boy that begged Shibata to take him to the LA Dojo anymore.
No.
He's thriving.
Yeah. To see him hit that promo and just the way he looks, I was like, man, that's not the young boy I remember. The young boy I remember is very quiet, but this grit, man. I'm loving this LA grittiness, man. This is dope.
You gotta look out for the quiet ones, is what it is.
Yep, absolutely. They are always going to get you. And the funny part of this is, it part of it is from the fact that Will Ospreay basically kind of felt like he was heading to LA to like like kind of fight the young lions, maybe get some notches on his belt, that kind of thing. And the young lions are kind of standing up to him, proving like, nope, we are not even, we are twice as vicious as we were last time you faced us, and now you've pissed us off that much more. We're ready to fight, and I'm ready for this war between the United Empire and the LA Dojo.
No, leave it to Narita, all right? Leave it to Narita to freaking say what everybody else has been thinking.
Thank you.
I was I said, ooh, okay. I said, I was like, what? How is nobody not seeing this? I mean, literally, he's a guy out in America, like doing the job, doing it, you know, for us, saying what's needed to be said, and staying the obvious, staying the pink elephant in the room, right? I mean, ooh.
Yep.
I was like, this kid got it, man. I love it.
And everyone's calling out Ospreay. Even Naito at his return press conference was like, "If I were New Japan, I'd just confiscate the belt. Isn't that your belt? Like, let's nip this in the bud." Okada and Takagi also at their press conference, which we'll get to in a second, not really talking great about how Ospreay has been kind of carrying himself in North America. And so it feels like the tide is turning against the United Empire at the moment.
Well, we've gone over about this. You have to stomp your feet and say, I'm the champion. I'm the champion. Guess what? You're not the champion.
Yep.
Oh, bitch. Yep.
We've said it before.
Thank you for saying it for me, Tama.
If you're in charge, you're the champion.
You know, that's the feeling that just comes out of me, you know, that I just want to, like, get it out. It's like, you little bitch. you're running around saying that you're hurt. Right. And that's not running around. You said you were hurt. You're out. You know, a real champ vacates that shit and then comes back and fights for it. But that's some bitch ass shit that you're doing. You know, that just tells us how much of a bitch you are. How many times have I said that now, that word?
Well, I mean, enough times it can end up on a t-shirt at this point.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you're right. He should have vacated. And if he's magically all well and done and all better again, prove it. Show up to the G1. Don't sit at home in the UK. Don't come to America and pick fights with young lions.
Oh, yep. That's what I'm saying. Like, yep. The G1, you're supposed to be in the G1 in this tournament and be on the path back to get your belt. But no, you bypass the G1 to fight the young lions that are making a fool out of you. and you're still running around saying you're a champ. And then you go on a damn cruise. You bitch.
No, and I feel like a lot of the things Ospreay used to hang his hat on, so to speak, are kind of, they're not his thing anymore. I mean, let's be real. He used to be able to be like, I'm one of the guys who's beaten Okada. Tama, you are now also one of the guys who's beaten Okada. And so you know that there's only so much time that Will Ospreay can actually hang his hat on that. There's only so much time that he can actually, he's gotta take that next step. He's gotta prove himself. And he's not right now. Especially after this G1, especially after sitting out this G1, it really feels like he has taken a step back.
Yeah. Yeah. If anything, Great O'Conn and Hanada and Jeff Cobb is the ones that's holding up the Empire right now and really doing it justice. Cause my man, Ospreay, boy, you gotta do something else, man. You gotta come with something else. You can't with the ammo that you got right now is shooting blanks, bro. And you gotta come with something else.
He's that life coach.
Yep, he needs a life coach.
He needs a life coach.
I'll give you a life coach, Ospreay. Come over here. Yep, bitch. Let me show you the way.
it's gonna be a new move, the life coach. But
that's a new motto. Stop being a bitch. That's your life coach right there.
There you go.
Life coach.
free advice from Dr. Tama. Like I said, Okada and Takagi had a press conference. It is now official. Our first night of Wrestle Kingdom is going to be Shingo Takagi versus Kazuchika Okada it's technically for Takagi's IWGP World title. But Okada's got the IWGP version 4 belt that represents his G1 win. He's calling himself the G1 champion. He brought the belt to the press conference so that it feels like a champion versus champion match. But there's only one official championship in this match. I mean, I don't know how official. I know the G1 contract is official. I don't know how official the heavyweight belt is after this press conference. It's a very interesting situation. I don't know.
Like, so Ibushi invoked that new belt, right? Because he was a champion. So, and we talked a little bit about this before. The G1 was different back then, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it was way different. Until what year? 2011, 12?
Yeah, it was 2012. Yeah, that's when they start doing the contract thing. In fact, in the earliest days of the G1, the winner did get a belt and was the IWGP champion for the entire year until the next G1. And so there is precedence here, but keep going.
So I think, you know, Okada doing what he's doing. I mean, there's everybody's trying to stake a claim to this new era that's coming up here. I think. And I hope whoever wins this at Wrestle Kingdom really solidifies and makes the new thing happen, which in my mind is you take, you know, you got a guy that's trying to move forward with the new belt. You got a guy trying to bring back the old belt. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to move forward on the 50th anniversary of New Japan Pro Wrestling, you tie the two together and really combine the old and the new. And with those two belts now, I would say keep the classic and add a little flair of that new belt into it some way, somehow, to kind of like represent the old and the new. Okay. That to me would be like the moving forward. Who takes that? Who does that and moves it forward? I don't know. Whoever wins that G1.
I have a feeling
that's G1. I'm sorry, Wrestle Kingdom.
The Wrestle Kingdom, yeah, but it's the G1 championship. It's going to be all G1 until January 4th. But you do bring up a very good point, because I think if Okada is going to be the one that wins, he might go for that. The way Takagi is talking about, it's not going to be that. Takagi is fighting to preserve the world title, the new winged belt that he's got. In fact, he's talking about returning the IWGP title. He's not using the name, but he says it should be going to a proper IWGP advocate I'll just say it sounds like he's talking about Inoki. He brought up some quotes that sound very Antonio Inoki adjacent. And so it sounds like Takagi's idea is to really take this belt into the future. We need to get behind the IWGP world belt and give the old belt back to Inoki, back to the past, and go for the next 50 years behind this.
I don't agree with that.
I'm just telling you what Takagi, and this is, again, they're fighting on January 4th. Then there's also January 5th in the Tokyo Dome. And then there's also January 8th in Yokohama. And so even if Takagi beats Okada or Okada beats Takagi, I am just not ready to call this done on January 4th. I think we've got a full 3 nights of mayhem to come. Karen's got her finger up, so I want to throw to her what's on your mind.
If I may. So this is where somebody has a golden ticket for fighting young lions comes in, because Okada and Takagi beat the ever loving, you know what, out of each other at night one. Mr. I'm the real champion sitting lovely in the UK strolls in and demands the main event, and who's ever beat up the most on night two.
Mm-hmm.
Osprey's going to come back at Wrestle Kingdom with his, I'm going to say it, his fake championship. The actual champion is Shingo Takagi.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to stroll in with that and be like, well, belt for belt, we both have the same title, yada, 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 yada. Prove it.
I'm with Karen.
Yes. I'm with Karen.
If you want to stop being... weasel his way in, you know it's going
to
happen.
But it has to be.
Osprey. I wish it would happen before, like on night one, before Okada Takagi.
Yeah.
That's true.
I would rather the world, double world belt thing be sorted out first. And then.
Well, there ain't no double. There's just one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we got to pitch the fake one that Osprey has into the moon, but
the less we acknowledge it, the sooner it goes away.
The less we acknowledge it, the less it exists.
But no, it would kind of legitimize, for lack of a better term, it would legitimize Osprey's reign if he did show up at Wrestle Kingdom, because like right now he needs to stake that claim. He needs to say that he is
yes.
He has been the guy, and the only yes. reason Takagi and Okada had a shot at this is because he got injured. Because, hell, he beat Okada, he beat Takagi, he has a legitimate claim for it, and it would be a very Conor McGregor thing to do. That's a big UFC thing, is they got one guy who's got the claim, and maybe he failed a drug test or he got injured or whatever, and he's like, I'm the champ, and the other guys they need that final showdown.
Osprey, for you to stop being a bitch, you need to come in at Wrestle Kingdom in your pink Gucci robe, that ugly ass thing that needs to be washed. All right, bring your fake plastic belt that you got at the Tokan shop, okay? And then fight whoever wins between Takagi and Okada, I could care less if you wrestle on the second day of Wrestle Kingdom or on the third day. Just come in and do the deal and see if you really are the champ. And then I'll stop calling you the little bitch.
No, it's until then he's a Fugazi champion. Like New Japan said that they stripped him of the title. It's fairy dust until he actually makes it something substantial. And I think Wrestle Kingdom is the place to make dreams reality, to make fairy dust into gold, to make, you know, whatever, to make that claim. But yeah, it's going to be a wild, wild road to the Tokyo Dome. Like I said, we got Best of Super Juniors. We got World Tag League. We got Battle in the Valley on November 13th. Detonation right after it, which is going to feature Josh Barnett making his return to New Japan Pro Wrestling, and Karen pointing out that IWGP US Heavyweight Challenge briefcase, because we do have a new King of America. Since we're talking about New Japan in America, we do have a new IWGP United States Heavyweight Champion. Kenta finally did the damn thing after over a year of teasing that IWGP champion after winning the original New Japan Cup USA and having to face Moxley under empty arena circumstances and all kinds of stress and duress. Kenta beat Hiroshi Tanahashi, bringing that United States title to Bullet Club. Tama, how'd you feel for your boy as he was getting that big win over Tanahashi?
About time, huh?
Shoot. Right?
Yeah, no, that's good for Kenta. About time. It's cool that he did it at Power Struggle. It would have been way cooler if he did it on AEW out there, you know, just kind of a little flex. But hey, yep. He's the champ, man. I'm proud of Kenta. Now, situation's kind of changed. Now, what's going to happen with Chase? Because Chase was supposed to be that guy.
And Chase seeded it. Chase was like, no, no, Kenta, go ahead. I'm going to be polite and let you take Tanahashi first, even though they both had claim from the G1. And now, yeah, Chase is... It might be Chase's time to either lay down the challenge or get out of the way. It's going to be up to him.
Shit.
Yeah, got to shit or get off the pot, you know?
Are we going to talk about the elephant in the room about go to sleep versus go to sleep?
I was about to say, because you brought up AEW, Kenta not exactly keeping AEW out of his head. He brought up a very familiar name, CM Punk, teasing the possibility of having a battle of the go to sleeps. I am all for, I mean, you know, anyone that's listened to the podcast knows me. I'm a Punk guy. I covered the trial. I'm happy he's back. And I think Punk in the Tokyo Dome against Kenta, or Kenta over in AEW against Punk, either way would be a damn fine matchup. You're the one that brought it up, Karen. What's kind of on your mind about Kenta versus CM Punk?
I would love it to be in the Tokyo Dome, but since I can't fly to Japan right now because I can't get in the country, I'll be okay with it on AEW TV so I can fly and go see it.
Yep.
Kento was the one who got me into Japanese wrestling as a whole. And I, you know, I've learned about the whole go to sleep versus go to sleep thing. So if I can go to see it, I will go to see it.
Ooh. That a sentiment. We would be bringing Karen full circle. That would
Karen
be fantastic.
Will be crying in the arena. I'd be just like,
Is that gonna be 15 minutes of them countering each other's go to sleeps or what?
It's yes. I mean it's possible. I don't know.
Or taking them and getting up and keep going.
I would love actually if it's just like a punch for punch. Just they just got to keep hitting them at each other and then see who passes out first.
Yeah,
it would definitely standing. I'm fine with it.
It would. Hey, look, CM Punk has he's as I've been saying, he's been kind of getting back into the swing of things. That would be an ass kicking and a half. That would certainly season that cast iron skillet to put it in cooking terms. But yeah, I mean, Tama, what do you think the potential of Punk versus Kenta?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I'm with Karen.
Yeah,
you know, either you do it here at Wrestle Kingdom, it should be dope as hell. But if not, you know, do it out there in AEW. Still brings eyes. I think that would be big. You know, representing
commercial free,
Japan.
Please. No commercials. Yeah. No crammed into the last like 15 minutes of the show. Open the show. 30 minutes. All murder.
I like that. Like that a lot.
And I mean, as this past summer proved, AEW has done a very good job with the IWGP United States Championship. I think there were a lot of people who felt it was kind of held hostage for that first year of AEW's kind of figuring out how to deal with AEW New Japan in the pandemic. But last year, when you had stuff like Lance Archer versus Moxley, and then, of course, Lance Archer versus Hikuleo, I mean, they really have figured out a way to make that IWGP US title. They've really figured out a way to present it well on AEW, and so I think it would be a good place for that match. I do hope it's a pay-per-view though, just for all of the reasons that Karen brought up. I want it to have time. I don't want picture in picture. I just want to watch those two smack the hell out of each other like Punk and Kingston are probably going to do at Full Gear. I don't, John, what do you think of the Kenta Punk tease that we got at the end of Power Struggle?
I mean, it's got to be a thing that happens. I mean, now that they're able to, it's kind of a no-brainer, right? I mean, the fact that, you know, they both need to go to sleep, and that's a whole thing. I'd like, I mean, you know, I mean, I mean, I tell you what, it's one match. You won't go to sleep during.
Good job.
Yeah. You know, that one's free, marketing teams.
You can't see it, but I'm slapping the knee over here. Slapping the knee over that one, John.
That one's free.
You're not allowed to slap the leg, Ross. You're not allowed to do that, man.
Hey, that's a new rule in Thomas Island. No slapping the leg, okay?
I swear, I'm hitting the knee. It's just
no
the knee.
No slapping the leg. That's it. That goes into effect right now. No slapping the leg.
But I think it's, you know, I think it's one of them no-brainers that it's like, yeah, I mean, just do it. There's no, There's no controversy there. Just do it, you know, and you don't even need to build up. Just say it's happening. That's his fucking story.
Okay.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I think there's a lot of exciting things happening right now in wrestling. I do kind of want to end on, it's kind of a sentimental place, because Tama, you've just got done with the G1. You had a hell of a match with Okada at Power Struggle, and now you're heading back into tag action with World Tag League. What, now that you've kind of had this singles run throughout this fall, what's kind of your big takeaway from returning to singles action?
Oh shit, caught me off guard there, Ross. Yeah. Hold on, let me ponder on this a little bit.
All good. Take your time.
Yeah. The rush of being in singles competition. Shit. You know, I got used to being in a tag match, you tag in and out. So there's a point, there's a lot of points there where you stand outside and just kind of wait. So your cardio is kind of shot being in a tag match for a while. But I think, like, there was a lot of, like, the adrenaline rush, the nervousness of being in a singles match, the whole package, man, of the spotlight being all on you and the whole responsibility being on you and your opponent. So I forgot maybe a lot of that in these past 5-6 years I've been away from it. Ooh, but I've actually learned, I've learned a lot being a tag match that I was able to apply to being a singles competition, just the way, just the confidence in myself, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I'm even covering what you're asking, but.
No, you're definitely hitting all the boxes, I promise you.
But it's good, man. The rush, I don't know, man. It's different because, you know, both, in this singles competition, I went against mostly so everybody in the B block, so half of the New Japan roster.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy that I had my focus on was Okada from the very beginning, because I've always felt that he is that guy. He's what I call the mountain here in New Japan, and facing him at G1 was amazing, and doing it on a on the finals, right? Not in the finals, I'm sorry, at the last match. Mm-hmm. And going against him here, Power Struggle, I felt was even greater than what it was at the G1. The feeling, it was 25 minutes of just us going. And I've never had a 25-minute singles match before.
Hell yeah, now, breaking down the wall, breaking through that ceiling.
You know, but you know, I've had it as a tag team. I've gone 30 minutes in tag team, but it's different when it's just you and the other guy. It's talk about, like, this is like gladiators, man. Straight up battling, and that rush that. It's just different, man, and it felt great to be in it, and we talked about it in Thomas Island, and I've said that I've gone against Okada singles match before, and that's probably like 5-6 years ago.
Yep.
In the G1, but going against him now, I could feel the difference. What that gap is now, how he is, how he carries himself, how he moves, he is just. I believe he's the best out in the game right now. Absolute best. And he's just so young still that he can, he can only still go up from here. Okay. Enough about Okada. But anyway, about me, shit.
Yeah, I was going to say, because Jay White just did an interview where he talked about, like, you don't wrestle a match for people to say what a great match it was. You wrestle it to win, but God damn, the match you had with Okada at Power Struggle, you made the island proud. I think you made a lot of your fans proud. Like, it was a hell of a match. I said this in Happy Hour, you're going to be able to write your own ticket in 2022 just based on the stuff you did in the G1 and Power Struggle. It's,
yeah. It's not, and Jay White is right. You wrestle to win. I think I have a very, I have a different approach in the way I look at wrestling than a lot of wrestlers in the game. The mm-hmm. way I approach it, the way I look at it as a whole, as a, I break things down, and I even not only to, of course, you wrestle to win, but it's every aspect of it, every little thing. And I talk about it a lot. And if you guys see it, I talk about it on the happy hours. I talk about mm-hmm. it on the podcast. I go into details on how I look at wrestling. So yeah, of course you always wrestle to win. That's number one. How you get there, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it was a hell of a fall, a hell of an autumn for Tamatonga, and this was a hell of an episode of Thomas Island. I want to thank everyone that hung out on the Twitch chat.
Karen is listening. I see Karen's eyes. There's something there.
Excuse me, went
talk to me. Break
yeah,
down.
Go for it.
Well, see, you were all in your feelings and wanted to talk about Tamatonga, so I'm going to put you over right now. Because you snuck, you were very sneaky, and you snuck the foreign ace into your bios on everything. And if anyone's paying attention to the G1 you just had, you showed everyone that is who you are. You are the foreign ace.
All even right. Though, now we get making me feel weird right now.
Wait. Even though, you know, you beat up on my favorites all the time, you've proven to everyone that you're not, pardon my language, fucking around anymore. And that's the Tamatonga we knew was there. We've just waited to see it. In this G1 and at Power Struggle, you arrived.
Oof. All right, I feel weird now.
Hold on.
Let's go, man.
I thought you put on a hell of a show, but you should have won. That's just my feedback. you didn't win.
John, bring it back down.
And you still got to win.
There you go, John.
At the end of the day, that's what sells the t-shirts is winners. So.
Wow.
Otherwise, you're going to be out selling curry like Donna, although he did
I'm calling it there. That's what we're going out on, folks.
But, that's my type of level right there. Thank you.
Yeah, that's
fucking one.
Those are the two sides of Thomas Island. I can't think of a better place to go out on. Thank you to everyone who joined us in the Twitch chat. Thank you to everyone that's listening. If you want to get in on all this good time, head on over to patreon.com/Thomas Island. Sign up for that Islander tier. We cut up like this in happy hour all of the time. Before we head out, John, where do you want people to find you if you want them to find you?
Man, they can find me. I'll buy them parking. That way they can get in. I'll buy them a ticket. They can kick my ass if they hated all my takes.
Oh, no. You're out here inviting people to an MMA tournament, aren't you? Yeah.
You can find me at John Sebastian on Twitter and Instagram, although my Instagram's all babies and booze. Or you can go to linktree.com/John Sebastian and stalk me through that.
Okay. Gotcha. And Karen, where can people find you if you want them to find you?
Look up at Hey Karen Sensei on Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. That's where I do most of my stuff. And if you're interested in Stardom, I do Stardom coverage for Post Wrestling. My next big show will be November 27th, Tokyo Super Wars.
Hell yeah. Shout out to the Post crew. They do great work, and adding Karen was a great call. Tama, where can they find you?
I don't want you guys to find me, but you can find these guys on the details here on the podcast. If you're listening to the podcast right now, we're going to be putting all the details here in the link tree, and you guys can find them there. You guys don't have to look for me. Ross, where can they find you?
They can find you over at @Tama_Tonga on Twitter, at the good bad guy Tama Tonga on Instagram, at Thomas Island on Twitter and Instagram if you want to find the podcast. And you can find me at RossWBermanIV on Twitter, RossBermanIV on Instagram, RossBerman.bandcamp for all your music. I did 5 albums in a year. Go listen to them. They're great. They're really good, I promise. Thank you again to everyone for listening. Thank you, John. Thank you, Karen. And obviously, Tama, thank you for waking up nice and early over in Japan and joining us for this. It was a blast having you, and it was a blast talking with y'all. We'll be back next week. And until then, folks, please enjoy wrestling, take care of yourselves, and have a damn good week. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to this week's Thomas Island. Find more great Thomas Island content like the Shotgun series, weekly happy hour Zoom calls with Thomas, video versions of the podcast, and much, much more at patreon.com/Thomas Island and visit @Thomas Island on Instagram and Twitter.